at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 33. But before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, beginning with verse 33, as we turn our attention to God's word, let's pay careful attention because this is him speaking to us. Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongues of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels. And he will lead his people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. Grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, the image that we are given here at the beginning of our passage, the image that Isaiah is painting for us, is of a forest. But it's a forest that's been completely chopped down. This forest has been clear cut. And all we see as we look out in front of us is a bunch of stumps. There's nothing left. Everything has been hewn down by the axe of the Lord. Now, if you remember to last week, King Ahaz, the king of Judah, turned to the Assyrian Empire for help instead of trusting in the Lord. And the result was that Israel and Judah became vassals or servants of the king of Assyria. Assyria's everyone's enemies, and Assyria came in and conquered everyone. Eventually, the Assyrians completely exile everyone in the northern kingdom. They ship everybody off. The kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Ephraim, as it's referred to in our passage this morning. And replace them with people from Babylon or other places. And the reason for this, the reason for the exile of God's people, is because of their disobedience. 2 Kings 18 verse 12 tells us that the reason for this defeat and exile is because Israel did not obey the voice of the Lord. They transgressed, they broke his covenant. They neither listened nor obeyed. So they were kicked out of the land. And when we get to chapter 10 here in Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 33 and 34, the Assyrian army, which is like a mighty forest, advancing, huge towering trees like the forest of Lebanon. The prophecy here is that this mighty forest is completely chopped down by the axe of the Lord. Total destruction. And this prophecy, these verses are referring to the destruction of Assyria, which takes place in Isaiah 36 through 37. And so it's pointing forward to what's going to happen, the complete destruction of Assyria. But not only that, when we get to chapter 11, verse 1, now we're looking at another stump. And this is the stump of Jesse, the stump of David's father, King David's father. The entire family tree of King David has been removed, has been chopped down completely. And we should be thinking, well, what about that promise that there will always be a throne of David? How is that possible? What is left of the dynasty of King David after God's judgment and chops the entire line of the kings down to a stump? Just like the Assyrians, David's family tree is a tree that's just been chopped down. And as you look at all of these stumps where there used to be a forest, as you look out at all of this destruction, what you see when you look a little bit closer, especially to the stump of Jesse, what you see is a little shoot, a little sprout starting to grow from the roots of this old stump. There's life. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Life is springing forth from what appeared to be dead. Jesus Christ didn't show up unannounced. Here we have a prophecy. There's so many prophecies, so many prophets and prophecies pointing to the certainty of Christ's coming. And in addition to him growing, is also prophecies of what's going to happen, the result of him coming, the fruit of him coming. God doesn't leave the world scarred by sin, broken because of sin. He was unwilling to leave us in our sinful state, in our misery, in hopeless bondage to evil. Because of our own rebellion and sin. The story doesn't end with a field of stumps. Because one of the stumps is growing. A shoot from the stump of Jesse. And that shoot produces branches that bear fruit. And that fruit, that growth is a sign, a signal, a sign of our salvation in Christ. That's what we'll be looking at this morning. Is first of all, we look at a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Verses 1 through 5, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5 describe who this shoot from the stump is, his character. And the picture that we are given is of this stump, a tree that's been chopped down for years, hauled away, and it's just been a stump. I mean, if you want to think about it literally, it has been 600 years since the time of David and the arrival of Christ. This stump has been dead some 600 years before it started sprouting. Think about holding on to a prophecy that happened 600 years ago from today. That's before the Reformation. And now there's life. Now there's hope. And in our passage, we have this stump right in front of us. A stump which, from all outward appearances, has been dead. And it represents not only the line of the kings of Israel, but also God's people themselves. If you go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is told to bring a message of destruction to God's people. That's his job. The people are rebellious, the people are sinning, they're defying God's instruction. And the overarching question is, how can they ever be holy enough? How can they ever be clean enough to be in the presence of a holy God? And the message that Isaiah is bringing them is that they are going to hear, but not understand. They're going to see, but not understand. Hear, but not get it, because if they could understand, then they would turn. And it's a picture of increasing tragedy. This judgment is going to happen until the cities lie in ruin and they're abandoned and destroyed. Houses are deserted. Fields are ravaged. The Lord sends everyone away and the land is utterly forsaken. And only a tenth will remain in the land. Isaiah 6 verse 13 says, But as the terebinth and oak leaves stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be a stump in the land. And so we pick up that picture again here in chapter 11 of the holy seed of being just a stump in the land. You've got an entire line of kings chopped down, an entire kingdom reduced to a stump, hauled away, exiled, ravaged, forsaken, cut down. And the question still remains of how can a sinful, rebellious people stand in the presence of a holy God? And we're given a picture of how serious, how bad the situation is, because it's not the house or the line of David that's mentioned in our passage here, but rather Jesse. Jesse was David's dad. So it's not just cut down to David, it's cut down to the roots. The entire Davidic dynasty is chopped down to the roots. All that's left is Jesse of this family tree. Hundreds of years of kings gone. An entire nation exiled. The devastation is massive. But yet there's hope. As you look at this stump, you see a sprout. Only certain trees sprout again after they've been cut down. Evergreens, Christmas trees, pine trees, they don't grow again once you chop them down. Ash trees, if you don't deal with the roots, they will sprout again. And I know this because I've chopped down an ash tree, and the next summer and the summer after that, those little sprouts start growing again. So you've got to dig out the roots. Describing the royal line of David as a stump is an accurate description or a metaphor, an image of the reality of David and his line when Christ was born. There's nothing left. It's been 600 some years. And even though it's still in existence, the house and the line of David, they haven't been on the throne or in power for over 600 years. That tree was chopped down a long time ago, but the promise is still there. And what we know and the truth that we need to hold on to is that God keeps his promises. He does what he says he's going to do. Jesus being born proves that God keeps his promises. Because even though it looks like a dead stump, it's sprouting. Now, what's the significance of this sprout for us? Well, when you look at verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. Jesus has the Spirit of wisdom and understanding for leadership, the Spirit of counsel and might for war, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord for holiness. And so unlike every other human leader in history, Jesus literally is qualified to be the ruler that his people need. Literally qualified to rule the world. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He's not going to judge by what he sees or by what he hears, but rather with righteousness. And so Jesus judges not by looks or by what he hears, but righteousness, a perfect justice. And his rule is going to fix all of the wrongs that we often live with or are forced to accept as that's just the way it is. The injustice that frustrates us with no solution is going to be corrected by Christ. The little people, the poor, the meek, those who are overlooked, those who are undervalued, those who are used, those who are abused are going to finally receive the justice that they long for. Righteousness is going to be the belt. Faithfulness is the belt of his loins. And here Isaiah means that Jesus is righteous and faithful just by being true to himself. He's clothed with righteousness. He's clothed with faithfulness. And because of that, we can trust him. We don't have to hold anything back. And if we get to the point of saying that, well, we can't trust Jesus, then the reality is that we're trusting ourselves more than we trust him. That's the mistake, the sin that Ahaz did when he refused to trust the Lord and turned to the enemy instead. And this is our greatest sin, to think that we are our own saviors. It's only when we start to trust in him more than ourselves that we begin to understand what it means to trust him at all. Sometimes we as Christians can get comfortable with ideas or even institutions or trends, even emotions that are harmful to our faith, that strike at the heart of our faith. Paul warned the Corinthians about a different gospel that's really no gospel at all. When we look at Job, we see the dangers of the prosperity gospel, which is really no gospel at all, prosperity preaching. Well, the question that Isaiah is asking us this morning, the question that he wants us to think through is, where do you get your security from? Where is your comfort found? Where's your confidence for the future? Where do I get my security, my coping skills, my confidence for the future? Because every false support, every false comfort, every false gospel is going to end up biting us in the end. Jesus is the only one that never betrays us. When I'm stricken with cynicism or emptiness or self-hatred, when my emotions drag me down, what false savior am I leaning on in that moment? Because God wants you to know what it means to lean on him in truth, a practical faith in him alone because of your salvation. Here's what we need to understand today. The surety, the certainty of these past prophecies, and specifically how Jesus fulfilled these prophecies, is our hope and our confidence for the future. God is still working out this plan. This branch is still bearing fruit. And he's not going to stop until all of these prophecies are fully realized in the lives of each and every one of his children. Are you a child of God? If yes, then this is your story. All of these promises are kept for you in Christ. There was a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and this shoot is producing fruit. And that's our second point this morning. A branch from his root shall bear fruit. This is what this shoot is doing, what this shoot is accomplishing, the fruit that is being produced. How does God restore his people? How does he remove all their impurities so that they're called righteous and faithful? Well, he accomplishes this act of redemption through the shoot of Jesse and the branch of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of Isaiah, we hear of prophecies about the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace. And we know that this peace is only going to come from the root that's growing from Jesse, the sprout. Christ is the answer. He's the peace for our own anxious hearts. He's what we're longing for. And the second part of Isaiah explains what it takes for this peace between man and God to be accomplished, what the Messiah had to go through in order to accomplish this peace that's the ultimate goal, showing that our suffering because of sin is turned into peace because the Prince of Peace has suffered in our place. You can think of Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. It's because of his body and his blood that we have peace. What this shoot growing from the stump of Jesse means for you is peace. And that's where the tension lies. Isaiah experiences the tension between what God promises, the restoration, the renewal, the cleansing, the peace, and what he's experiencing, what he saw. Destruction, judgment, pain, suffering, brokenness, a bunch of dead stumps. There was a tension as they waited for the Messiah, the king who would bring peace. This is what God said. We know that God always keeps his promises, but what I see is a stump. In the same way, we today experience that tension. The shoot of Jesse has already come and grown, but we haven't experienced the fullness of this branch bearing fruit. The peace on earth, the justice, the righteousness. And so in a similar way to God's people in the Old Testament, we are waiting and looking forward and anticipating a time when Christ will return. We're living in the already and not yet, between what's already happened. Christ has been born, he's lived, he's died, he's rose again, but we also look forward to him coming again when he will fulfill completely all of these prophecies. We know that Christ has conquered sin, yet we still struggle with sin each and every day. Death has been defeated, and we still face the reality of death unless Christ comes back first. We know that he's victorious, ruling on the throne right now. But when we watch the news, it sure doesn't feel like it. We're told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but that's not what I feel in my heart right now. There is still that tension between what God says and what we see and experience. But look at the movement of our passage. From warfare and destruction, from the Assyrian army being totally wiped off the face of the map, the lopping off and trees being chopped down, and that's the beginning of our passage. It ends with an image of peace and tranquility. In 6 verses 6 through 9, we're given a picture of the peace that comes. A picture of the end, the final consummation, the fruit of this reign and rule of Jesus Christ. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The wolf and the lamb are living together. The leopard is lying down with the young goat. You've got lions eating straw like an ox, cows and bears grazing together, children putting their hand in the hole of a cobra or an adder's den, not getting hurt, not on my holy mountain. Why? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. It's kind of like a movie trailer. This time of year, there's a lot of movies that are coming out, and you get these little advertisements for the movie, a little scene from the movie that piques your interest, and, oh, I want to go see that movie. Well, that's what these prophecies are like. This is just a foretaste of what the fullness of the reality will be when Christ brings the fullness of his kingdom. It gives you a taste of what God is accomplishing through Christ, and it gets you excited. I'm not battling and struggling and suffering alone. The Messiah, the shoot of Jesse, has come and isn't going to quit his work until sin and suffering and death are no more. And when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea, verse 9, our scars, our brokenness disappears with the overflowing healing of Christ. We will be one. Creation is going to breathe the peace of God. We're never going to hurt one another again. And if we bow to the rule of Jesus, he will lead us into everything safe and pleasant. Even now, the fullness of this kingdom that we are getting a glimpse of, it's right there in front of us. This is the next thing. All that stands between us right here and right now, this present moment, and the consummation of all things, Christ's return, new heavens, new earth, is simply the command of God. Today could be the day. All he has to do is say the word, and Christ will come to judge and save and rule. We're right on the edge of these prophecies being fulfilled completely. And that's why, third and finally, the root of Jesse is a signal for the peoples. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. That's verse 10. And so here you have this shoot has grown up into a tree. It's sprung up. It's grown and it's bared fruit. And now this tree that has grown is a sign, is a signal to all of the people. And the image that we're given here is all of those who have been exiled, who have been scattered throughout the earth, are now, as God's people, being brought back, being brought home. So what started with destruction and exile ends with Christ not only sacrificing himself, but being the one who was judged and cut down in our place. He's the one who was lifted up on the cross so that he could accomplish peace, gathering his people from the ends of the earth, bringing in the nations, fully accomplishing the peace of his rule. The beautiful news of the gospel is that God didn't leave us in our desperate situation. He had every right to. Every right to respond to our sin with judgment, to leave us as stumps. But he chose to respond in another way. Not because of what he saw in us, but because of what was in him. God always keeps his promises. Jesus came because we are broken and we can't fix ourselves, but he can. And that's what this prophecy is pointing to. Verses 7 through 12 talk about the hostilities between Ephraim, which is Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah. All of those hostilities that go back for generations, that's going to come to an end. It's going to permanently be healed. The divisions between Samaria and Judah at the time of Christ, that was still a bad situation. When Jesus talked to Samaritans, it wasn't a good thing, but that's going to be healed. The healing and the restoration is someday going to be fully realized. Verse 11, you've got all of these places mentioned, and the emphasis is on the worldwide nature of this return as Christ calls all the nations to himself, from the south in Cush to the far east in Elam to the far north in Assyria and far west, the coastlands of the sea, Mediterranean Sea, and the phrase from the four corners of the earth gets at the reality that here Christ and the salvation that is found in him, this shoot that has grown from the root of Jesse, is a sign, is a signal for all the people of the salvation of God. There is no part of earth that is too far away for God's hand to reach, for the good news of peace and hope to reach, for the gospel of this shoot of Jesse to reach. And there's nothing that can keep us from coming to God either. Notice it uses the Exodus language of the people in the wilderness coming to the promised land, crossing the rivers, the Red Sea, the Jordan River, and God's going to take care of all of those barriers, and they're going to walk through these big oceans and rivers in sandals. There's a highway straight to God, and that highway is Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ. God was not willing to leave this world in its brokenness. He did not leave us lost in our sin and in hopeless bondage and rebellion, our own evil hearts. The certainty of these prophecies, specifically how Jesus fulfills them, is also our hope and our guarantee for the future. Because God always does what he says he's going to do. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his promise. And God is still working out this plan. And he's not going to stop until all of these prophecies are fully realized in the lives of each one of his children. The shoot from the stump of Jesse. The branch that bears fruit is a signal, a sign of the salvation that is ours in Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for not leaving us in our sin and our misery, but for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for sending the shoot from the stump of Jesse to grow and produce the fruit of salvation, of restoration and healing. Lord, we pray that that peace, that fulfillment of your promises will encourage us each and every day as we struggle with the sins and the brokenness here and now. Help us to look forward to, with eager expectation, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.